Yesterday, I was included in a group chat of the clergy of Alaminos. The secretary suggested that I join this group chat. I was a little hesitant to do it because I don't like getting lots and lots of social media type messages that have no importance. Anyway, I accepted it because I should be connected with what announcements come from the diocese and this sort of thing. Well, last night before I went to bed, I got a message on this group chat. The phone made a little beeping sound. I said, "What's this?" "Oh, it's the group chat." I said, "Oh, now it starts. It's going to be a lot of nonsense." Turned out it was an official announcement from the diocese that the Pope has announced a year of St. Joseph. Maybe you already know this. The Pope announced a year of St. Joseph. So I said, "Oh, that's really beautiful." I was very happy to know that there's going to be a year of St. Joseph. Then I went to bed. I said, "Oh, that's great. I wonder when it will be. Maybe starts March 19, I thought, or maybe Feast of the Holy Family or something. I know Pope Francis has a great love for St. Joseph and for the Holy Family. Well, this morning, after our prayer, I picked up my phone. I don't like to check email before the day begins. But anyway, I looked at it, and there it was, two more messages about the year of St. Joseph. I said, "Oh, this is really something, and people are talking about St. Joseph. Beautiful." St. Joseph, who, of course, is very important to us. He's one of our patrons. We have a statue of him right there. In fact, I can see him from the altar. St. Joseph, protector of the unwin. So he welcomes us into this shrine. He welcomes us into the unwin life. He's our protector, St. Joseph. So I said, "Well, I wonder when this is going to start, this year of St. Joseph." I opened one of the articles. It started yesterday. The Pope announced the year of St. Joseph on the day that it started, December 8, 2020. So that was the first surprise. We're already in the year of St. Joseph, and we didn't even know it. The second surprise was he chose the date, December 8, 2020, because it's the 150th anniversary of the Church's declaration of St. Joseph as the patron of the Universal Church. I can't remember if that was Pope Pius IX or... But anyway, it was in 1870 the Pope made an official pronouncement. St. Joseph is the protector of the Universal Church. So this is the 150th anniversary, or yesterday was the 150th anniversary of that proclamation, and in honor of that, the Pope has announced this year of St. Joseph from yesterday up until December 8, 2021, so 1 year. Then the article said that there's various indulgences connected to the year and different things. And one of the aspects of devotion to St. Joseph is Wednesdays. Wednesday is the traditional day of St. Joseph. Well, today's Wednesday. I said, "Oh, today is the first Wednesday of the year of St. Joseph." So I had all that in my mind when I went out to take a little walk. Usually that's when I start to reflect on the homily. I couldn't get St. Joseph out of my mind to focus on today's readings. Not that we should get him out of our minds. He's always protecting and guiding us, although he usually does it in such a hidden way that we don't notice him. Pope Francis is shining a spotlight on St. Joseph so that we will know his importance in our spiritual life and in the life of the Church. Usually, St. Joseph doesn't come to prominence until a little bit later in Advent, next week. Next week, we will really focus on Joseph. So let's look forward to that, and we'll look for ways to honor him in this year. Well, with Joseph guiding and protecting us, let's take a moment to look at and ponder this gospel. Jesus, this very short gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." one of the beautiful revelations of Jesus' heart. He is meek and humble of heart. He is concerned about us. He wants us to experience rest. He doesn't want us overburdened. Many people think that religion is a burden, that the whole idea of God is a burden, that to have to fulfill all kinds of religious and moral obligations is a burden. So the idea of coming to Jesus does not appeal to them. It's one of the sad facts of modern life, is that people think that Jesus is an interference in a happy life or a free life. Here we are in Advent, we are pleading with the Lord, come. Halina, Jesus, halina. We're saying, come, Lord Jesus. We're preparing the way for him to come to us. We want him to come. In this gospel, he says, come to me. He wants us to come to him. So we want him to come to us. He wants us to come to him. And this is the nature of relationships. There are two-way streets. They're two-sided. They involve both people making an effort to enter into the relationship. Even because, just to make it clear, if we say, come Lord Jesus, but we don't really open our hearts to him, if we don't come to him, nothing happens. It's like saying, come to my house, and then keeping the door shut. We have to open the door. We have to make a way for an encounter. So Jesus says, come to me. And he addresses this invitation to all who labor and are burdened. That's everyone. That's everyone. We are all burdened. We all have a labor. We all have responsibilities or concerns or fears or wounds that burden us. Most of the burdens we carry are not from the Lord. We put them on ourselves, or we let other people put them on us, or we take on the anxiety of our age. That's not what God wants. That's why he says, come to me. The burdens of fear, of anxiety, feeling like we have to right the wrongs that have been done to us, that's not what God has in mind for us. Many people now, because of the pandemic, are burdened. They're burdened with uncertainty, with real severe losses. And that's why a lot of people say, well, what in the world is going on here? What is God doing in this time of pandemic? Why is he burdening us with this virus? Even before the pandemic, I remember visiting the United States. You look at people's faces, especially young people, they really look burdened. They look like life itself is not worth living. You see young people, teenagers or young adults, their faces convey a deep dissatisfaction with life itself. Why bother living? It's kind of a scorn, kind of an emptiness, a hardness. It's very striking. You don't see it as much here, but it's part of the modern condition. Like, oh, people say, well, the best thing we can do is enjoy ourselves, or the best thing we can do is escape, get into video games or get into drugs or something so that we can escape. Well, that's a burden. It's a burden. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, meaning Jesus wants to free us from the burdens that were not supposed to be ours in the first place. The first burden being sin. Sin is a burden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now he's talking about a different burden. There is a burden that we are supposed to carry. That is the one God has in mind for us. And this is the one people shy away from. And people, we take all kinds of burdens on ourselves. Fears and projects and judgments, worries. And the one burden that we're supposed to carry, which is the will of God, to do the will of the Father, that's the one thing that people say, oh, why burden yourself with that? Why take on all that religious requirement? Well, this is the one thing we're supposed to carry, the will of God, which is, yes, it's a responsibility. Yes, it's a challenge. Goes against the grain. It pushes us. Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable when we realize what God is demanding of us, yes. But this is the yoke that frees us, that makes it possible for us to be who we are, to live a fulfilled life. The idea that we can go through life with no burdens at all, with no responsibilities, with no cares, with no accountability, that's a lie. That's a lie. There is no such life. We are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for others. We are responsible to God. We can't escape that. And we shouldn't. That's the yoke that God wants us to take. He wants us to learn from him. Now, if you want to think about people who are burdened, look at Jesus in the Passion. Here's God himself, who could do whatever he wants, sacrificing himself, burdening himself for our sake, taking up a cross that he did not deserve for the sake of us who do deserve it. And this is a burden. He takes it up. He takes the burden on himself so that our burden can be light. My yoke is easy, my burden light. He's talking about our part in the cross, not his part. It's heavy on him. It's light on us. This is a valuable reflection or matter to ponder during Advent. Because in Advent, we are preparing the way. We're making straight the path. We're leveling the mountains and filling in the valleys and getting sin out of the way so that we can welcome the Lord. And all this preparation can strike us as a burden. We have a lot of other things to do, especially as Christmas comes along, or as we're dealing with the quarantine and trying to figure out what to do. There's lots of things that can burden us. Even just family life itself can be quite burdensome. So why take on this burden of preparing the way? Because it sets us free of the burdens we're not supposed to be carrying. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. This is a great appeal, and our hearts are longing for this rest. We're longing for freedom from these burdens, and now it's being offered to us. So this work of preparing the way, which is work, is a work that gives us rest. It's a work that refreshes. It's not just another burden, not just another thing to put on the list of things to do. It really is a path to life. It's an opening to life with God, to this encounter with God. And this is what we long for. This is what we are praying for. So we take on this task of Advent so that he can free us from the burden of sin, fear, anxiety, and all other concerns, so that we can journey through life with him in a way that is peaceful, it is beautiful, it is joyful, it is hopeful. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Saint Joseph, when he was asked to take on responsibility for the Holy Family, was given a burden. His life was a lot easier before he married Mary and started raising Jesus. He was a single man and he was a just man. Life got harder for him when he had to say yes to the contradiction of Mary's pregnancy. But he took on that yoke, and he shows us that this is the way. So, this is not the time to dwell on St. Joseph yet, but this year we have a lot to learn from St. Joseph, and I'm just connecting him to this invitation of Jesus to take up the yoke of the Lord and to let go of all the human baggage that we normally allow to burden us. His yoke is easy, his burden is light.